Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
What's up, patrons? We are back, and we are back with another season of Every Season Matters. We are beginning Survivor All-Stars. What a trek this is going to be, especially for me. I know Will says he likes this season. We'll see if I can convince him otherwise.
Afterwards. No, I just watched it. You can't convince me. I'm not going to like let you tell me why you don't like it after I just watched it. And I'm higher on it on this rewatch than I was in the past. So rewatching it to the opposite of what you wanted to happen.
No, you know what? I'm happy about that. The further we drift apart, the better things become on this podcast. So that's perfect. Blake will be here to be the middleman. And by middleman, I mean, I've paid him off to hate this season as much as me, but we're putting this first episode out onto YouTube as a little bit of a...
I better brush my hair then.
I know. Blake forgot.
Oh, guys?
This is a YouTube episode?
This is actually the best Blake looks all the time, so it's great.
God damn it.
So this one's going to be going out on YouTube as well as to Patreon. This is a series that we've been doing for our top-tier patrons for the last 7 months now. We have done the first 7 seasons. We're jumping into All Stars and we're getting really towards the golden age of Survivor. So if you're thinking about ever becoming a patron, I feel like this is a good time to do it. 2 episodes a week, every week. And we're starting this one off with an all-star cast ranking. We figured All-Stars would be a good one to do. Everybody's talking about 50 right now. Will is so tired of hearing me say Survivor 50. I don't think he wants to talk to me about it anymore, but I feel like talking about an all-star season when people are kind of looking towards 50 and wanting to see who's going to get cast on that and everything, we have the original that we can really base some things on and have a discussion of, did they make the right choices? Did they make the wrong choices? And we're going to rank these cast members. We're each going to give our top 10, and the 10 are going to be based on how they actually performed on All-Stars. But it's not just going to be on performance. It could be they overachieved, underachieved, were entertaining, better than expected. It doesn't matter.
Or just our favorite 10 of this season ranked. Like, we can kind of, who do we enjoy watching? Who do we enjoy having on the season? So it's not like we're not ranking it based on placement. I think then we'd all have the same rankings, which would not be, and there'd be no suspense.
There would be no suspense. And also, and then on top of that, we also later on in this series will be doing underrated Castaway and things like that. So we have different topics that are coming up, but I do think
the twist episode, there are a lot of twists in All-Stars that I kind of forgot how many, and this actually happens a lot as we've been going through the first 7 seasons. Like, it's very clear from the start of Survivor that they are going to twist the format and try to mix it up. So I know a lot of people always say, oh, this is like in the 30s, the 40s, that's just twist. We were always finding new wrinkles to this game, and there are a lot here in the season.
Yeah, and I'm excited to get into, like, the seasons right after this because they're nonstop. Like Guatemala probably has the most twists of any season in the history of the show, but we'll get there. We'll also be talking about winner satisfaction, and we'll be doing Final Tribal Council. We'll get its whole own episode. So we're gonna be doing all that. Will hates when I use like overrated or who was the worst, things like that. But when we're doing this 10 ranking, this top 10, I do feel like I'm going to need to throw out like who was the biggest dud of the season that they had high expectations for, that the people had high expectations for, and they just didn't deliver on this season. So that I'm going to have to throw that in at least. But
do we want to start with that? I mean, I don't know.
Because they're not going to be in our top 10. So I guess we could just start with that, right?
Sure. Go ahead, Phil. Take it away with your negativity to start off the episode.
I love starting with negativity, but this is actually one where I don't feel like I'm being overly negative, because at this time, this was like the all-time cast. This felt like, you know, especially Will and I did a podcast for our patrons last week, or that we were talking about the, what do you call it? Like the men they cast on this season. It was perfect. Like there's so many men that we feel like should have played from the early seasons, but then when you start to look at who they cast, it's really hard to argue with many of them.
I think we said if we basically recast All Stars if we had just seen the first 7 seasons without seeing anything else. And I think our only tweaks were adding Fair Play and Sean Rector in place of, or maybe we did Greg. I forget where we went. It landed. It's a great podcast. We recast what would have been our ideal choices after those first 7 seasons. Yeah. And it was tough. I mean, there's a lot of great players to choose from. And we were definitely more happy on the men's side than the women's side, where we felt like there was just a lot of great women who did not want to play again. Like they said it, like, you know, Filarski, Colleen, people like that who just wouldn't come back. So we had kind of our dream all-star season.
Yeah. And so I got to go out here and kind of who I was most disappointed with, because we really saw that they didn't have much game. And that's Colby. And on this rewatch, when I was watching it, Colby's always entertaining to me. But you have to remember, coming off of season 2, the legend of Colby was so unbelievably massive. And I'm one of the few people who actually likes Colby's arc in Heroes versus Villains. I think it's so ridiculous. And the fact that he goes on to become the last remaining hero is just an unbelievable arc for this guy. But on this season, he has the great confessional of the naked hatch, or he's got what, the 200 pounds of hatch or whatever he says on the back. But other than that, there's really not much going on. And I mean, that Mogo tribe is the all-star tribe. That's the one that people wanted to watch play Survivor All-Stars. But I just feel like I had to throw that out there. People might say Rob C, they might throw out Jenna, things like that. The thing is, Rob C still delivers. Rob C just never had a chance because of the tribe he was put on. You look at his starting tribe, he's the only threat on the entire tribe. So yeah, Colby on this rewatch, it kind of does like stick out to me a little bit more of, it's awesome to see him out there, but he's like the non-winner who gets treated the most like a winner, and he doesn't do anything to try to take that away from him. So
yeah, I think that's a fine pick if we're going to start with that. I am going to go with Rob C, and this isn't out of, you know, hatred or vitriol or rival podcasting or anything like that, because I've said for season 50, if there's one player that I think should be out there that encompasses like the eras of Survivor, who's really only played twice and really only played once because this all-star appearance is so short, it should be Rob C. I think he should be absolutely in contention to play for 50. I'd love to see it. But here in All-Stars, I mean, it is a total letdown for, you know, how recent his season was too. Like, we are coming off Amazon Pearl Islands, two really highly regarded seasons. We have, you know, he is the star of Amazon, and just to come out and just go home early, doesn't, like, he goes home on his first tribal council, like doesn't even vote anybody off. He has a couple quirky confessionals here and there, but really it's like, for how excited I think everyone was at the time to see Rob C play again, like the confessional king, one of the most likable players at that time, man, big letdown, big bummer. I wasn't prepared to answer this question. Again, I'm more excited to talk about the people that we did like, because I do like this season, but that has to be the answer.
Mm-hmm. Blake?
This is most disappointing or most underrated or overrated?
This is just like most disappointed. I called it a dud. I mean, Colby's not a dud, but Colby just didn't deliver anything that the people in 2004 wanted. So that's
The most disappointing player, I think, which again, I wanted to start with.
I mean, we liked. For me, I don't know how you don't say it's Lex, of like, Lex gets to the end in Africa. He's pretty cutthroat. He dodges a couple bullets in Africa and steps on probably the most obvious, biggest landmine I've ever seen, and just gets his both legs blown. This is for YouTube. Let's do it. But he jumps on the ice cream cake that was left in the bouncy house, and it's everywhere. And he's just like, "Who left a cake in here?" And it's like, you got to look first in the bouncy house. Is there cake or not before you jump?
Yeah, so in terms of like a blunderous gameplay move, like that's definitely the biggest one and disappointing. But to say that Lex didn't deliver on this season would be
Lex delivers
completely just an insane thing to say. But if you're talking about like disappointed by his gameplay, then absolutely. So,
All right, I wanted to start with that. I just think that's fun. Yeah, Lex, we'll talk about that though when we get there. All right, who are we starting off with number 10? Who just barely cracked the top 10? Blake, let's start with you since you're trying to get us kicked off YouTube. So let's start with you.
Great. I would say in 10th place, I would put Kathy Varvik O'Brien. She wins an immunity. She talks about, ooh, I got in with the other tribe. I'm gonna have an inroads with Rob and Amber are going to take me to the end. That was one thing throughout all this is like, what is your relationship to Rob and Amber? And that's basically going to be what you're doing. So her being like on that yacht with everybody and I fit in so well, this is going so fun. And all the anger from the final tribal council, it's like, it's kind of what I wanted from Kathy, but obviously there's a better season for her out there.
I really like Kathy, and I do.
This is low for Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy's final tribal council speech, and we'll talk about it when we do the final tribal council episode, but her final tribal council speech is honestly the only one that I felt was justified. And it is so emotional. And I think the thing you have to remember when you're watching this, because you mentioned it with Lex, Blake, so you're over two so far, is the relationships, the relationships that these people have with each other before they get onto the island.
Well, and this one is clear and obvious. And actually, I don't know if you're going to make this point. I was going to make it when we got to Kathy, or at least when I got to Kathy, was that Kathy and Rob having a bond was kind of our gateway into like, okay, these players know each other outside the game. We've at least seen that one on TV already. Yeah. But that helped us kind of bridge the gap to like, oh, wait, like Lex and Rob, wait, they're friends outside the game. We haven't seen that on our TV screen before. But it becomes very apparent through the season. And I think just knowing that we've seen these players play and like Kathy and Rob really having a strong connection and these emotions being really high just helps us understand that in general.
All right. So Blake didn't understand the assignment. I agree with you on this, Will. It's okay, though. It's okay. Blake's okay. He's entitled to his own opinion. Even if
well, he's got
to
have 9 players better than Kathy. I'm shocked.
I can't. So Blake, do you have Sheehan at number one? Is that what you're getting to right now?
No.
Okay, good. Will, who do you have at 10?
Well, speaking of the devil, I have Sheehan at number 10. And Sheehan is not someone I would have liked to see return. I do not like Survivor Thailand. We covered it. It's just not a fun, good season. Really unlikable people. She kind of got screwed by the twist there. Again, I'm not a Sheehan fan. But when she wins immunity and starts rubbing in all their faces, I'm like, you know what, Sheehan? You go, girl. Like, go rub it in. Like, you are getting pagonged. I think she is the first person ever to say it's a pagonging on
She is the first one to ever say it on TV. Yes.
I think she gets some credit for that, for kind of helping bridge the internet lexicon into the actual lexicon of the players in interviews on the show. So she's not the best character this season. I think, you know, we have so many people going home early that I don't even think we need to really get it. Like, obviously, I said Rob was the most disappointing. You said Colby. Like, we have Tina going home first. So in terms of, like, people that actually had a presence on the season, again, not the biggest Sheehan fan, but I really like what she brought, the few things that she did. So I got Sheehan at 10.
Yeah, I have Jenna Lewis at 10, and I know that might be like, whoa, why'd you put her so low? She made it to Final 3. I almost didn't put Jenna Lewis in my top 10 because I think she single-handedly both ruins this season and then also makes it good for a majority of it. So I didn't know what to do with her because her whole strategy of coming out there of they've already had their chance. It's like, why do you get a second chance? Like, I don't care. Don't vote off the winners so I have to watch you, Jenna. Nobody knows who
you are. But that's at least good. That helped her game. Like, at least that was like a viable strategy that she was able to actually put together. So good on her for playing that hard and actually executing it.
But that's why I'm so conflicted on her, and that's why I just landed at, I'm just going to throw her at 10. That's where I'm going to put her. I'm going to be happy with it. She drove me nuts in the first half of the game. All she wanted to do was vote out the winners. It's so annoying. It's boring as a fan to watch. She's talking about they don't deserve to be there at this point. It's like, it's an all-star season. You were the 97th person they called. Why is this happening? But then honestly, like her second half of the game makes sense. And, you know, people give her shit for, you know, not trying to get rid of Rob or Amber or something. But she pretty much said, if I get to the final two at one of them, I'm a millionaire. I am the winner of Survivor All-Stars if I sit at the final two with Rob or Amber. She knew that. So not the worst strategy to get to the final three with them. The problem was she just couldn't get over the hump. And if one of them win the final challenge, they're obviously taking each other to the final tribal council. So that's really the thing that hurt her the most. But I can't hate the strategy. But man, is it annoying when that's all she talks about for the entire first half of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So,
let's run it back. Who's your nine, Phil?
You know what I mean? Okay, so we'll do it backwards. We'll snake it. I actually have Ethan.
No.
Yeah.
That's my nine also.
We all have Ethan.
Let's just all talk about it with the same nine then.
All right. 1, 2, 3. So Ethan. I have Ethan at
I think it's just because he is a nine. That's the thing for me. What I got him there for. I'm happy we all have Ethan. I actually thought I was gonna be the only one who had Ethan. Ethan is the most compelling winner on this season, and it's not even close. And that is crazy because if you were actually to sit down and look at the winners who played on this season, you were talking Tina, you're talking Jenna Maraska, Richard Hatch, Ethan, and is it just those four?
It's just four.
So you have those four out of the seven.
Amber and Rob too.
Yeah. Well, eventually you do. I think that's why it confuses me. But like, mm-hmm. Tina, we had all seen play a pretty cutthroat game for the older woman and everything like that. We saw her in Colby's relationship. She never had a chance in this season. Hatch honestly does deliver in his confessionals throughout this season, and he does go out in pretty crazy style. But Ethan and Jenna were kind of in the same boat of like, are we super excited to watch them play again? I know I was excited to watch both of them play again, but I was also like 13 years old and like, hell yeah, soccer players. Yeah, woohoo. And yeah, Jenna's hot. Woohoo. Like that was essentially where my head was going. So I was excited for both of them. Ethan almost overcomes the murder, the winner.
Slaughter of winners. Yeah.
It's crazy. He does a great job. He survives longer than Colby. They vote Colby off instead of Ethan at that one tribal council. And a lot of that actually does come down to like Ethan playing the game. So no, I think Ethan showed a lot in All Stars. I think that's why people were so excited for him to come back for Winners at War as well, because they knew that there was still game out there. But yeah, the highest placing winner, I think, deserves a little pat on the back here.
Yeah, you mean you stole the words out of my mouth. Highest placing winner is enough. He delivered on this season for being dealt a pretty, you know, a tough hand here. There just weren't enough winners on this season to really hide behind anybody. And he did a good job. And so I give credit to Ethan. I got him at nine.
There you go.
Blake. The thing I liked about him was my back is against the wall at the very beginning. And then it was, well, I got through that. And then he was like, it feels like my back is against the wall. It feels like I'm drowning. It feels like I have a first day every single day in this game. And I think that is some of the first confessionals like that, because it was, this is a person who does know how to play the game well, playing from the bottom. And usually that only really happens when we have an idle play or someone has a faux pas. And this is somebody doing this because I have a target on my back from day one. Day one targets don't exist in Survivor yet. And so it was really cool to see that kind of stuff for the first time. Like, he is paving the way for that type of confessional and gameplay.
He survives two tribal councils where they vote off non-winners and keep him, when the storyline is let's vote off winners. That's really impressive. And the people who go home, it's Rudy, who obviously Saboga was just falling apart and they realized that they voted off Ethan, they were toast. And then you have him, what do you call it? Then he goes, and then it's Colby. And a lot of that is he learns how to lean into Jerry's hatred of Colby, and that really works in his favor. But yeah, I respect it. I'm happy we all had Ethan in there. Will, you haven't gone first yet. Why don't you give us your number eight?
Number eight, someone you just mentioned, Jerry. I have Jerry hit eight. She outlasted Colby. I mean, when Jerry and Colby merge onto they swap onto the same tribe, it is like, it's so much fun. And I almost had to put Colby in the top 10. I didn't, just because of that reunion alone. And I know this season gets so much hate, but just seeing these players interact, like, hey, we get to see, you know, Lex and Boston Rob interact, that all becomes a big storyline, and that's great. But then seeing some of these reunions along the way are also really fun. So I like Jerry here. I'm proud of her for outlasting Colby. She's her snarky self. We get the best of Jerry here in the pre-merge. So I know she goes home early, but when Jerry was around, she was being Jerry. And so that's why she was an all-star. That's why she was cast. So I think she delivered in what her archetype and role is. So I got Jerry at eight.
I have plenty to say about Jerry, but I'm not saying it at eight. Blake, who's your eight?
My eight is Colby. Because I thought he was like, this is the negative Colby. Like, if you make it to the end, we don't really show your negatives. And there was a couple people maybe on Australia that were a little tired of his antics, mm-hmm. but we couldn't really do the whole like, hey, screw this guy because he's going to make it to the end. So Colby talking to Shein about how he doesn't respect her strategy at all is an amazing, like, why did that happen, Colby? Like you can't say that to people in the new Survivor. You probably can't even say it 10 seasons ago, but like, I'm just going to tell it to you straight, Shein. Like, I think you're reading to filth of like, I don't think you can hang the moon. I don't think you can even get the right, like, leaves for our bed. Like, you suck at this. And like her going like, okay, cool, dude, was probably one of my favorite scenes of the season, because it's just something where you're like, I like the egos and how they played in this of, I shouldn't be losing to such bad players like this. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting seeing the dark side of the moon of Colby, of like, maybe this is how he was when he wasn't getting his way. He got his way a lot. During Australia, we see him as an older, more mature person in Heroes versus Villains, not getting his way some there, but being like, yeah, this is how the cookie crumbles. But this is the first time he has some adversity and he just goes full the other way of like, I don't respect you at all. And I hope your strategy dies and burns in hell.
All Stars is pretty funny with that, because there was a clear hierarchy in the Survivor community at that time. Like, Colby rides out on the motorcycle with Rosie O'Donnell at the Marquesas finale. Shein wasn't doing that. And obviously, she wasn't doing that for Amazon.
Like, yeah, but guess what? Shein is in my top 10. Colby's not. Yeah. So what now?
No, and I think that's funny. And like, when Blake is saying all these things, and like, Colby does do some funny things, and I'm sitting here saying he's the biggest dud from this season, but he's a dud because 13, 12 year old, however the hell old I was when this aired, I thought Colby was going to win. I mean, he was so many people's favorite player coming into this season. It was him and Rupert, really, that I feel like most people were rooting for, especially dads, because dads couldn't stand Lex because he had tattoos. That was evil. But like, these other people, like Rupert and Colby, were the two people everybody was rooting for. And they had easy adversaries with like Johnny Fairplay against Rupert, and then obviously with Jerry against Colby. So yeah, Colby still does some funny things. It's just, you know, he broke my heart going out pre-merge on this season. He's, you know, he's my biggest sad face there. At number eight, I have Amber. I don't know if that's going to be too low, if you're all going to like yell at me on that.
Way too low.
Really? I think Amber and Rob is fun, but even after like rewatching the final tribal council, it's Rob, Amber. Like,
I don't know. We'll get to the final tribal council. I think Amber does some really savvy,
I'm not saying she does,
things in final tribal, where like, as a player, and for me, like, again, this season gets so much hate. The story of this season is actually insane. If you kind of like take a step back from it and just realize what happened, that two all-stars from different seasons were put on a starting tribe randomly. I mean, maybe they pair them. Hey, they're both young. They're both single. They're both good looking. And maybe that was like part of a produced plan, but for them to actually hit it off and not just like show, showmance, like actually, I'm going to propose to you before the winner is announced. Like, that is insane. And it's a story that I don't know, like a real life story plus in the game. And so for me, Rob and Amber are, I don't know if you, how you can have either this low.
Yeah, I have Amber at 8. I just feel like Rob carries the torch. Amber has some moments. I just don't find Amber all that entertaining. Like, Amber's fine. I'm sure she's very nice. Like, I don't have a problem with Amber. It's just all of her confessionals don't do it for me because it's so much based just around Rob, and Rob's giving the better version of each confessional. So her best episode is the one where she does get separated and Jerry ultimately ends up going home. That's the most entertaining she is. Her final tribal performance is good, but she also was going up against the most evil person to ever play at that point.
Some people.
Yeah. So yeah, I have Amber at 8. Who's up first now? Is it Blake? Blake's up, right? 7, lucky number 7. Sure.
If you fly Clay Jordan in and replace Amber with him, does he beat Rob if it's like he hasn't played a single game?
6-1.
Yeah. I didn't know. You guys are so wrong on this. Amber was just that good that she was taking
I'm about to say Amber later. Don't worry.
Are you about to tell me that Rob and Clay was the showmans we were robbed of because we had Amber instead? Is that what you're telling me, Blake?
We'll never know.
My number 7 is Shean. I know we've said Shean already, but I thought it's an interesting layer of how many people have won immunity and told people to absolutely eat my ass, basically. And that was like so funny.
YouTube, Blake.
Yeah, Blake, this is YouTube.
Not on Patreon. Hey, if you like this, though, if you like that phrase, you might want to come over to our Patreon and subscribe. Like,
this is why
a little bit more loose on the Patreon.
Oh, usually. My God. Johnny Fairplay.
How many people have
won for you to go over to Reality After Show, Blake?
To go completely stick it. And so I think that's a fun thing for her. And the back and forth with her and Alicia of like, girl, you got to go back home and live with us. And it is like, well, you're about to go home. Like that was an interesting layer. I think the other thing that's so funny for me about Shean is how absolutely annoyed she is and how annoying she is. Like, we have some of the most annoying people of all time on All Stars somehow. And like, part of me was like, I wonder why nobody ever turned on Rob and Amber. And it's like, literally, Rob and Amber are clearly in charge of the game, but they're just not annoying. And everyone else hates each other. Yeah. And it's like old irritable men and like the youngest women that are still around that are like would complain about literally anything. And it's like, well, that's not going to work out for any of y'all. And so it was cool to see how Shean would just get so annoyed by any little thing. The thing with Colby, the flip side of it is like, well, thanks for telling me how you don't think I'm worth anything, and I'll make sure to vote you out this time.
She had some funny moments, man. I loved when she got the rice they did their reward. That actually,
oh yeah, she's like Guatemala. Give the Asian girl the rice.
She's just commenting. Everyone's just annoyed with her, but then she's able to win the immunity. So I don't know. She's in such a bad spot, like continually, but somehow survives really deep into the post-merge.
I also feel not like,
that I mean, the post-merge started so late, but deep into the game.
When they cast this season, I feel like Shean was the only non-winner who had 0% chance of winning the second she stepped on that island. And she does deliver for somebody who really didn't have any business.
Drawn
really
dead.
Who is just dragged out there because they needed Thailand representation and they refused to have Puppy shooting Brian on there. Iceman. I wish they would have. Well, you're up. Who you got at 7?
I've got Jenna Lewis. You had her at 10, right? I think Jenna Lewis totally. I know you don't like the winner thing, but hey, that's just good gameplay, good strategy. It could, you know, everyone rallied behind it. And then in the post merge and late into the game, she actually plays pretty damn well. I love her arc of getting her letter from home finally, or her video clip from home since it didn't happen in season 1. She's overall just a more, I don't know, more positive presence. She's in the majority. And like you said, she had an absolute chance of winning $1 million if she's able to win that final immunity challenge. So 1 in 3 chance of $1 million. You played a pretty damn good game. And I found her to be, you know, not as irritable, more entertaining on this season than she was in Borneo. So Jenna Lewis, everybody.
There you go. I mean, I feel like 7's fair. I wouldn't go higher than 7. If Blake's still sitting on Jenna, I don't like that. But, you know, 7's fair. He's over the uh-oh. It's refrained from anything.
Number 1.
Yeah.
No, never.
I have Rupert at 7. I think Rupert is so funny on this season, unintentionally.
No, that's like, why it's so good. I can't believe you have him this low. The show milks Rupert in all of his glory and his, you know, heroics, but also in his delusions and failures.
Jerry and Rupert is so funny. When Jerry starts to sound reasonable talking about Rupert, that's pretty damn iconic. So yeah, I think Rupert digging the hole is so funny, like all time. That might be like top 10 moments in Survivor history. It's just,
and they're
so
watching. Funny. I love how they're watching the judge and he's like talking to Jeff and you can just tell he's like, oh no, he doesn't like the hole. He doesn't like the hole. And the guy's pumping. Like, it's eventually going to flood. And then it eventually floods. So good.
It's so good. And then the fact that he makes it all the way to Final Four, like, I feel like you actually get more Rupert, and you also get to see that had he made it further in Pearl Islands, there really was no strategic game. Even if he makes it further, nothing was
going to Jenna was playing his strategic game for him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was walking him through that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That showed Jenna Lewis was somebody who, even though I had her at number 10, she plays on any season other than Borneo. She's a threat. And I think that she actually is. People keep talking about they want Jenna Lewis back for 50. I don't want that. But if she did come back for 50, there's a good reason for her to be the season one representative if you don't want to go the hatch route or something like that, because she's somebody who would clearly play the game and is willing to do it in a way that a lot of the season one people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I have Rupert at 7. I thought he was so funny. The fact that the biggest provider in Survivor history is on the tribe that can't win early, and that he's one of the main reasons why they suck is just awesome. And then he just keeps delivering. So, like, and he stays positive at the end. He's not miserable.
He's always positive. Like, that's actually a good thing about Rupert. He rarely complains, even though when things are going very poorly. Tomorrow is another day.
Until he hurts his toe in Heroes versus Villains. And that's that. And then I guess I'm going 6, huh?
Sure.
I got Tom. Do you guys have Tom even in your top 10?
I have Tom at 6 also.
Okay, cool. I was starting to feel like with you guys dropping Shean and stuff, because I don't have Shean in my top 10. I was like, man, maybe they're not going to have Tom.
No, you got to have Tom. And he's not like the biggest presence. He does last a long time. But I mean, we'll get to Final Tribal Council. Obviously, we're going to do a whole episode on it. Just for that moment alone, I feel like he has to crack the top 10. So maybe we don't linger too hard on it. But we get it. I mean, Tom is just a character. I mean, even in the little bits he has, he's a hoot.
Yeah, Tom is amazing. And also, like, Tom with, like, the getting drunk, him and Sue. How did I survive my life without Sue Hawk all these years? Like, that is so funny. I love Tom. Also, Tom sets the record for most days played in Survivor history on this season. Up until Parvati, he has the – or no, it was Amanda breaks his record. Amanda Kimmel breaks Big Tom's record. Big Tom had the record until that moment. So, yeah, Tom delivers. He's not as big of a personality, but I think that's just because he was such second fiddle to Rob that there was really nothing more they could do about it. But yeah, like, who do you have at 6?
You wouldn't believe who I have at 6. I have Amber at 6. I think it's interesting. This is our first real showmance. And like, showmance is, I think the cultural significance of this is showmance is used to be dominant on reality TV. It used to be you have to vote them out. If you work with them on Big Brother, they'll take you out and win. On Survivor, there's a couple showmances that do get deep and far. Can I name all of them right now? No, but we could, like, oh yeah, that one, that one, that one, that one. And so, like, this is the first time where, like, everyone calls attention to it. Amber and Rob are wrapped around each other's fingers. They're kissing. Oh my God, we got to get rid of them. She gets to the end, though. And, like, I think what I really liked about her, this is the first time I'm hearing all this culturally, maybe not for me specifically, but what I liked about her thing is there was a am I or am I not? And that's enough to make 6 seasons of a sitcom. Mm-hmm. And it was, am I really into Rob or am I not? And it started out with, not really. I'm trying to do this. And then you see the genuine, like, this guy really cares about me. Like, this guy, whenever there's a chance I'm going to get voted out, it's really tolling on Rob's mind. I'm mentioning Rob a lot, but the other layer of Amber's thing that blew my mind, because this is my first time watching this season all the way through, was, like, she is so pretty. And that is something that I think needs to be said of, like, in this game, like, obviously being more attractive gets you further, or does it, or would you rather be not attractive? And it's like, She's so pretty that if I was on that island, I feel like I would just be like, yeah, I can, I'll get wood for you, or like, I'll go grab the water, and like that kind of thing of like, I would just mesmerize while watching her sometimes. And like the fact that she wins the whole thing, is she the most strategic? I think the idea was everyone wants to be as close to Rob as possible because he's the one who's blood on his hands. And she is obviously the one who got closest to Rob of all time because she got married to him. So she wins.
She wins. I just realized, Blake, while you were talking, that I totally messed up my ranking. So this is a disaster. 33 minutes in.
What'd you do?
Put somebody's name twice.
Right, you're gonna have to find another.
So now I just have to
bring Sheehan. Just grab Sheehan and you know, promote.
I think
her,
we dump this 30 minutes and start over
so that we don't have you saying weird shit on here.
Phil.
Yeah, that's the ninth worst thing said because you guys aren't even catching Blake's innuendos. There's so many. So I guess I have to slot somebody in at five, huh? Pretty much my choices are Sheehan, Alicia, and Hatch. And I feel like if I mention Hatch, that's just going to have such a negative connotation to it because we obviously have the incident. The crazy part is without that incident, Hatch's confessionals are crazy. The strategizing he does right before he goes home is wild, like absolutely wild. But I guess I have Sheehan at five. I guess that's what I'm doing. There you go. So I actually have Sheehan higher than both of you. You guys are terrible.
That's true. Wow.
This guy cares.
You are the biggest Sheehan stan.
Crazy. I can't believe I just did that, man.
Okay. At five, I will go Rupert. And I already alluded to why I love him so much, just because we get all kind of sides of Rupert. I mean, I love it so much when his tribe, I think they steal it. Like, they finally get the Hawaiian sling, and he's sharpening it, and he's so excited. And he goes out, he starts catching fish. And then Boston Rob's like, yeah, that's like going to a pet store. Like, let me just try it. And he gets like 11 fish the first time he ever tries. He's like, it's so easy. And then Tom's like, I'm hardly in the water. I'm going to get in the water today. And Tom catches a fish. And you can tell it's like eating away at Rupert. And it's so, I mean, just that alone is so, so good. We mentioned the hole, and then he got to redeem himself with the boat he got to build. I mean, Rupert, we got all sides, and I love it. I love it so much. And like you said, he gets deep into the game. So we actually, like, it doesn't feel like we're shorted on Rupert. Like, maybe the Pearl Islands felt that way a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I got Rupert at five.
I like Rupert. Good job. Rupert is the name I had twice, by the way. So really, if I was doing my ranking, it would be Sheehan, Jenna, Ethan, Amber, Rupert, Tom. So Tom would end up being my number five, not Sheehan. Sheehan can go back up to 10. Everybody who just heard this, there's your confusion for the day.
Okay.
Unless you really want me to just keep Sheehan at five.
No, do your real ranking. That's fine. Because then we can average them out and see who, you know, who's the highest average.
Yeah. Okay. So I have to like rewrite my whole thing. Blake, who do you have at five?
My number five, you've heard her name twice already. It's Jenna Lewis. I think you can't mention this season without her. Like, it's such a driving thought force of like, get out the winners. I'm going to do my best to be with Rob and Amber because I could win the whole thing. It's like, she is the one who is laying out the themes for everyone. And I think she also lays out the themes of the camp life. And I think anytime there's an argument at a tribal council, like, Jenna should just shut up and apologize, but she's not going to, because she's like, no, it was really annoying. Why are you eating the fish you caught without giving us fish first? And you're like, wait, what? Like, wait, what? And it's like, well, would you give us bananas before you eat bananas if you do bananas? And she's like, I would never do that. And she's like, well, why are you expecting fish? And it's just so funny how, like, the arguments are going through her. The strategy is going through her. The winner chances are, she's the kingmaker at five, probably. She could once and for all get rid of, like, I'm going to go with these older dudes that I could probably beat in both immunities and get out Amber first and Rob second, because I think Rob wins at final five, right? And so it's just something where, like, where's that going? Why didn't we do that? And it's like, I think there's the like, it's not a tragic story. I don't need to see Jenna Lewis come back and hope she can do it again. Like, there's a couple people's stories on All Stars where I'm like, close the door on that book, thank God, of like, like, you did as good as you could. She did as well as possible. Let's say it the right way. And I think she got the most juice out of her all-star season she could. And I was like, that's pretty cool. And, but she's still annoying. And it was like, it, all of that is like, I think, what are we, what is the layer of this? The most entertaining or most payoff? I think she got paid off so much more.
We don't really have a layer, Blake. We're just kind of making it up
just,
as we go.
Yeah, just like we delivered. So I had delivered.
May I had to mess up so bad I couldn't put Shein at five. We're up to four here. Who wants
to do I'll do my four.
Go ahead.
So at four, I have Big Tom for the final tribal council stuff. For the, I think it was, it's cool to see him interact with his son and do all that kind of stuff. Like, let's go. I'm so proud of you. It was interesting to see somebody have a relationship with Rob the entire game. And I think there is the idea of, was Rob making friends on this season, or was it business from literally day one? Because it's Rob and Tom on that initial Shapira tribe for dudes that could bro down or talk. They build a wonderful shelter together. They win the shelter challenge. Maybe, I don't know if Big Tom even did that one. It was interesting, those reward challenges. We'll talk about those later on. But like, Big Tom and Rob are side by side the entire game. There's not a day where they wake up where they don't see each other, except for day 34, 6 to 7, whatever. But like, it's interesting to me that Rob just didn't care about that again. And the tragedy of Big Tom realizing that he had those kind of relationships that did work out for him in, or maybe they didn't because he got fourth place in Africa, but like, same story, different thing. But now we won't have Boran boys forever because Rob really doesn't give a shit. And our other alliance member, they're getting married. Like, did Rob have any of these people at his wedding or whatever? I think that's worth looking about now that I actually have some context for all.
We can do an Everything Matters. Yeah, we'll do that. That'll be the wedding episode that we'll break it down.
So Big Tom at four, or whatever I'm saying.
Okay. I have Kathy at four. Do you have Kathy at four, Will?
I do. You just skipped me, but it seems like you predicted what we were going to say. So yeah, I got Kathy at four.
I'll let you give the reasoning first. I just had a feeling you
were I love Kathy, and I honestly wish she lasted longer. But I think, like I said, we got to see kind of like the pregame relationships that existed through Kathy and Rob as kind of a conduit for that, which was awesome. And I mean, she gives great confessionals. You're rooting for her the whole time. Great at Final Tribal Council. I know we keep bringing it up almost for everybody. I've been on record saying I think it is the best Final Tribal Council of all time. I just happen to love it. So I am glad we're going to do a whole episode on it. But yeah, Kathy brings it. You can keep riff off that, because there's not a whole lot to say other than she's a great character. I was really excited to see her play again. And yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think what was interesting about Kathy's game is, in Marquesas, it took a guy like with an aggressive personality going home for her to wake up to what was really going on. Same thing happens to her in this season, except in Marquesas, she's able to get the final three after Rob goes home. In this season, she's too attached to Lex and there's nothing she can do. I think, Blake, when you were talking about Big Tom, the saddest part about Big Tom at this point is he had the chance at final nine. Like, there was a potential, if Big Tom could have started talking to some people and figure it out, they might have been able to flip this and not have it be a 7-2 vote to send Lex home. But everybody felt like they were Rob's number one, or at least Rob and Amber's number one, and that's good gameplay from Rob and Amber.
Yeah, I mean, they had like a final four deal with almost everybody. Yeah,
and I just think Kathy, like, it's raw the entire time, and you are rooting for her, and you want her to pull this.
You can
out.
Feel you it. This is an emotional season, and maybe that's why some people don't like it. I like it because I like to feel the emotions. I like the conflict. I like drama, and yeah, there's some dark stuff that we don't love with this season, but there is some really emotional, impactful survivor here, and Kathy's a big part of that.
Yeah, so there you go. I got Kathy at four. Will's got Kathy at four.
I'm just gonna go with three because you guys keep going first and I'm in the middle, and I don't like that. I want to go first one of these times, so I'm going Amber. I have Amber the highest out of everybody. I've kind of already mentioned this, but it's just like, this is the story of Rob and Amber, and they go on to do much more in reality TV. But just this season, how this story unfolds, and then they actually end up together and have four kids. And, you know, you watch the season through that perspective. It's actually just an incredible, incredible story. And Amber, is a very savvy player here throughout this game. And she does some very savvy things, especially at Final Tribal. And she knows basically that she has a very good chance of beating Rob because Rob is burning all these bridges. And I know she gets hated on as a winner a lot of the time because she's not the one actively, you know, voting people off and making moves and lying and all that stuff. I also think it's like this is such a good example of warming us up to Russell and Natalie White, you know, so many seasons later, or even Michelle and Aubrey to some extent, probably not as much so, but how just being a likable, good person is a more important skill and metric of like how you get jury votes than it is what's your resume look like, your big moves. And this is Rob playing a very big moves, aggressive gameplay, you know, type of game. Where Amber just kind of sits around and says, yeah, I kind of got lucky. I know you guys want to be here. I'm sorry. And like just wins out of being loved. And I think that's kind of an underrated story and skill of Survivor overall. And so I'm happy that Amber was able to do this in the first All-Star season.
Mm-hmm. I have Lex at three. So my guy here, what I love about Lex's storyline, look, you can say he's bitter, he's everything, whatever. Him and Rob clearly did have a very close relationship outside of the game. Like, clearly, there was something there. Like, let's be real. It's obvious. And I think he was hurt. And the thing with Lex that I think is so fascinating throughout the entire game is every time he votes somebody out, he says, just business, boom. Just business, boom. Just business, boom. And then he's the one who takes it the most personally. But I also think that, like, this goes into the outside of the game that All-Star seasons never really get into, which is, him and Rob definitely had something going before they got on that island. And that was supposed to play out. Him and Ethan and him and Big Tom and stuff, they didn't have anything going before they got on the island. That didn't happen. And with Lex, he was able to turn it off there. And then when it happened to him, he wasn't able to turn it off. Then it was personal. It wasn't just business. However, the fact that Rob asks him the question of, can you keep her safe? You keep her safe, I'll help you out. And then starts mocking him and everything like that. Lex is doing it from a good place. Like, Lex is legitimately doing that from a friend-to-friend place. And we hear him say that in his Final Tribal speech, which honestly, his Final Tribal speech is awesome. It's epic. I don't care how many times you rehearse it. It's awesome. He just delivers. And he is a good adversary for Rob. When that time comes, it's just there's nothing he can do because this is the day and age before idols and stuff. I also think this is probably why we start to see idols come into play a little bit not too long after this, because they start to say, how can somebody on the bottom, Stephanie LaGrossa, Chris Doherty and Lex slash Kathy in this situation, how can they finally find their way out? Well, they got the answer in Guatemala. That's what they were looking for. So yeah, I think Lex delivers the entire time, whether you love him or hate him. He absolutely brings it in confessionals. He brings it in gameplay. He brings it in everything he says, whether it's hypocritical or it's very sincere. I just love it.
All right, Blake.
Great. My number three is Rupert. Rupert. I think there's nothing funnier than the two episode back to back of it's time to build a shelter. It's time to win this reward. And he's like, y'all are stupid. We're going to dig down. We're going to make this thing. We're going to make this hut. The guy comes over, puts the level on, like pushes the thing, breaks everything in the thing. And everyone's like, you're an idiot. This is not how this works. And he goes, no, I promise you this one will win. And then the next episode, it's completely flooded. I think that's something that of the legacy of this season, like when people talk about this season, oh, is that the one where Rupert had the flooded thing? Is one of the first three things that is mentioned, like the betrayal, the flooded thing, and like negativity. So it's like, this is the fun
version. What about
the
romance?
The romance. Yeah, I just knocked something off. It was like, it's so funny to see how bad Rupert, like Rupert's just a dude. And like in seven, he was the man. And in this one, he's just a dude. Mm-hmm. And like, some people are like, oh, thanks for helping. But some people are like, get this guy out of here. Or like, and I think him being like, he needs someone to idolize him and push back on him. And like, that's what makes Rupert dynamic to me, is because like, I think I would get equal parts of like, wow, that was pretty cool how much weight you would lifted in this challenge, or how good you were doing here. But then like, story time with him would just be a mess. But like, everything Rupert was doing was like, oh, I'm excited about this. The fact that he's fighting with his number one ally was hilarious to me, because he's like, I want to vote out Jenna, but then I would be like completely lost if I do. So I can't do that. Like, I like that dynamic. And like, he sneaks his way into hanging out with Rob. Like, as soon as the assimilation happens from that yellow tribe, Saboga blows it again and over and again and some more. And like, Jenna and Rupert work their way in and be the best. Like, they are the ones who are making Final Four in that Shapira thing instead of the Big Tom, instead of Alicia. And so I think that's something where it's like, he played well. He played better than his thing. Like, is he one immunity away from winning the whole game? Is he two immunities away from winning the whole game? Like, would he have lost to anybody in the final two of that? Like, I think Rupert, and then you can't not bring up the, and I got $1 million at the end of it. Like, anyway, like half the people probably think Rupert won All Stars if they're casual fans. So it's like, that's hilarious to me. I thought Rupert's entry into this was like, there was no negativity in my opinion, because all of his negativity was hilarious.
All right. We're up to number two. So we got our top two. Nobody has said Boston Rob yet. So I'm assuming we all just don't have him in our top 10. That's what I'm going to assume is the case here, is that nobody put him.
He was too mean to everybody.
Will, do you want to go first or you want me to go first? I'm asking because I know last time you were upset, but I can go first if you want me to.
No, go ahead. I don't care.
You guys are my number two.
My number two is actually Jerry. And I'm not.
You bitch, me too. Let's go.
No way.
I thought you guys might not have Jerry.
Let's go. Like, you don't actually have Jerry at number two.
Literally, I can put
Jerry
at eight.
And I thought, I was like, that's nice of me to include her in the top 10 for being pre merge. I really enjoyed her on this season. But to have a pre merger go in the next spot is pretty insane. So explain yourselves, guys.
This, in my opinion, is the best version of Jerry. Everybody says it's Heroes versus Villains. No, Heroes versus Villains, Jerry doesn't actually do that much. She has the best chance to win in Heroes versus Villains.
She's not as much Jerry as
she is. She's not Jerry. She's more of a hero. She's more of a normal person in that season. And in Australian Outback, it's too much going against Colby and she goes out early. Jerry in this season is amazing early on. Saboga, she is carrying the Saboga tribe from a, let's be reasonable, people. What the hell is wrong with all of you? She is incredible that entire time. She's the one who knocks Rupert, America's sweetheart, off of the pedestal for everybody to see. She's the one who lets that be seen. She gets to beat Colby. She has her own agendas while she's out there. It's insane. And then on top of that, if it wasn't for this stupid damn twist, and it's not really that stupid, but if it wasn't for this twist at Final 10, she makes it into the merge, and I think she could have caused so much chaos because of the way she was playing and everything, and because everybody thinks they can beat Jerry at the end. But even then, her going home at that moment, do you know that she has the record for longest time without making a merge or a jury on a single season? She played the most days where she didn't make either the merge or the jury. That's crazy. And then it all caps off at the final, at the reunion show, where she gets booed off the stage for saying something that makes 100% sense and shows that she's just been a normal, coherent human being the entire time. And that maybe when Colby's screaming at his brother in Heroes versus Villains, we all should have been Team Jerry in the Australian Outback and not Team Colby. I just feel like it's super entertaining from start to finish. I wish we got more of her. But somehow, even though she goes home as early as she does, we still get 10 episodes of Jerry. So it's not like I'm pulling somebody who doesn't make the jury.
No,
it's
I had her in my top 10 also. I'm fully with you. I feel like it's a little high, but I get the sentiment.
Blake, what were you going to say?
So Jerry is my number two. And I thought I was going to be the one, like, I was talking about how much I love Jerry from Australia. I thought I was going to be the number one Jerry fan. So I don't know if Phil got me or if I got Phil, but it's so funny because Jerry is always right. Anytime there's an argument with Jerry and anybody in Survivor, the thing that's interesting about it is Jerry's always right. Like, you shouldn't build a thing in the ground. Like, she was right whenever it was time to fight with Keith about food in Australia. And it was just interesting to see her, like, nobody likes me. Nobody trusts me. The rain was really bad last night. I feel like I'm going to quit the game because I've seen some people quit already. And, like, okay, I'm going to do my best to do this. And now we're placed in a scenario where, are you going to go with Jerry or are you going to go with Amber? And they have to go against each other, their former Australia castmates or whatever. Oh my God, tri-mates. And, like, it's so interesting where Lex, Kathy, Shein, you should be going with Jerry. It will literally blow up your game if you go with Amber. And Jerry's right again.
She says it so clearly, too, like, yeah, point blank. Why would you believe anything Rob says? He's clearly just trying to save Amber.
And, like, everything she says outlines the whole rest of the season. It just shows the futility. And, like, I get why. Maybe there's some outside influence. Maybe there's some loyalty to the death. But it's like, if you go in and it's 4 and 5 and you have Jenna Lewis and Rupert in the middle.
And Shein.
And Shein in the middle. I don't know. Well, Shein's on their side, maybe.
Top five, Shein.
Yeah. Then maybe Amber or maybe Lex, Kathy, and Jerry are the final three instead of 10th, 9th, and 8th. So Jerry's always right. The fact that she got booed at the final tribal council is a travesty, and I hate that that happened to her and had to, like, probably spend $12,000 in therapy.
I doubt she did. I think she's fine. Yeah, okay. She just walked off the stage because it's like, I got mine. I don't need you guys. Yeah, Jerry's great. Every time I watch that final 10, I'm like, man, if they would have just voted out, if they vote out Amber there, you go
but
in
then
for
Rob
it.
Doesn't have it. Rob doesn't propose to Amber before the final reading of the votes, which is
thank
iconic.
God.
Yeah.
Well, who's your two?
My two is Lex, who absolutely delivers. And when we did our Africa rewatch, I was saying how I think Lex is closer to Coach than most people realize, and that the show does a lot of, like, wow, this guy is kind of delusional, and let's ham that up and kind of make him into this. He sounds so smart and eloquent, but what he says is kind of insane a lot of the times, or, like, doesn't really add up or make any sense. And the show does him, you know, 10 times as dirty this season, because if you watch this, and Phil, you kind of mentioned this, whenever he would vote, it's just business. He even has a confessional saying, I'm here to play a hard game. I'm here to put aside friendships and relationships. Like, he literally, his entire storyline up until making this blunderous mistake, this the worst move ever, he is saying how he wants to play a game exactly like how Boston Rob is actually playing. Mm-hmm. And then because he makes a mistake, he then reserves to, like, I've been playing with honor and integrity, honestly, a lot like Coach. And there's so much joy and humor and entertainment that comes out of this. And I know some people who watch the season and go, oh my gosh, the emotions were so high, the tension, the friendships were broken. It's like, I look at this now, especially now that we know what Survivor became, with, like, actually playing hard strategically and lying. And now it's, like, celebrated, especially what Rob does here. I mean, Rob is celebrated for his gameplay this season, even though he doesn't win. That Lex doing this whole season trying to be cutthroat, and then he gets cut. I mean, he does it to Ethan. I laugh at it. I think it's absolutely hysterical. I think it's a funny storyline of the show. And yes, it might be sad that I don't know if these two ever rekindled their friendship. It kind of, to me, as an outside third party, makes it actually a little bit more funny and entertaining. Just the absurdity
you're that
of this.
Guy, huh?
That it's just absurd to me that Lex is, like, so forthright and clear saying he wants to treat this like a business trip and be cutthroat, and that he didn't do that in Africa, and that he needs to change, and that he looks Ethan in the eye and says, Ethan, I gotta get you, like, you're my buddy, like, they are boys from Africa. And then Rob does the same to him, and he just is a complete and utter hypocrite. It is so funny to me, and it's insane, and I derive a lot of entertainment and value out of that. And I think Lex fully delivered his character, again, closer to Coach than I think anybody realizes. So I have Lex at two just because of the value in just the seismic moment of that betrayal, and how much it was kind of foreshadowed. It's just, it's awesome.
Blake not putting Lex in the top 10 is a travesty. It's a joke. It's like the worst take ever. Worst. Bottom five takes in the history.
How do you know? He might have Lex at number one.
Oh, I just forgot Lex. Oh, crap.
I mean, I forgot Sheehan, essentially.
So I was the only one who did this list correctly.
No. I should have put Lex in my top 10.
I do have Alicia at one. You guys good with that? We go with Alicia. She just delivered on every level.
I have Tina.
Do you?
Yeah.
I mean, Tina's more understandable than Alicia at this point. You know, there was really no way to not put Rob at one. I really wanted to not put Rob at one just for the
sake of him. He's so good. He's so good this season.
You can't. Yeah, he's ridiculous, man.
And I know we've all like, oh, I'm so sick of Boston Rob. At this point, you weren't. Like, he didn't even make the jury in Marquesas. So, like, this was Rob's coming out party. His confessionals were gold. His gameplay was ruthless. He'd laugh at everybody behind their backs, make deals with everybody. This is the Boston Rob that we all kind of fell in love with. And to see it again, man, it is very good. It's that good. So,
yeah.
Rob at number one.
It has to be number one. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Rob's there. And I get that he didn't have the target on his back when he came in, but he took advantage of every second of not having the target on his back. And that's what you have to do. Come in, dude. Do what you got to do when you have the opportunity. So, Blake, I assume you have Rob at one.
My number one is Rob Mariano. He is, I think this is the de facto Rob season because it's more entertaining than like his actual win. Redemption Island was kind of like, ugh, I don't like this, to be honest. But so this is the de facto Rob season. I think every time he's talking, there's a couple times where he does do the Godfather thing. Like, Rob Father, yes, he cuts Hunter off super early, and you can maybe get that, but not the case in All Stars. Like, this is whenever he was Rob Father through and through. These are my first confessionals. Like, I'm going to get them. They're going to go as far as I let them. I think that's the first time this is said. Everything goes through Rob. I think this is the most a single season has focused on somebody until Russell, and they're probably 1 and 2, which makes sense whenever they do the colossal promo of Rob versus Russell for that season that Rob does end up winning Redemption Island. But it is something where I like him. I'm rooting for him. I am not hoping he gets taken out at 9. I'm not hoping he gets taken out at 5. Like, as soon as he goes Lex, that's not gonna happen. It was hilarious because Lex went up to a couple people and was like, I want to let you know before I vote you out, you're going and there's nothing you can do to change. And then when Rob does it to him, it is kind of like the third time it happens where it's like, and now Lex is like, how could this be happening? And you guys are seeing it from a positive from Lex. I'm seeing it as a positive from Rob of like taking that story to the end. This is technically a Rob win. Yes, it's Amber's, but like who really wins? He has that confessional of like, oh, if I could get the girl and the money, it's a little bit more eloquent than that, even though
but Amber got the man and the money.
Yeah, she doubles up. Yeah.
And she gets the title.
And honestly, triple's like Rob's the catch here, right? Like, we agree.
Yeah. Well, he's ranked number Amber's, one.
Yeah.
And honestly, if I'm gonna say Amber's hot. Rob is so hot in this season where you're like,
big time.
What is going on? Like maybe attractive and like, so.
All right, Blake, where are we going with it? Yeah.
All right. We're on YouTube.
Remind Blake that we're on YouTube.
Just a force to be reckoned with on every level where you're like who, if you could dream or if you could like put yourself into one, like I think it'd be a fun, it would be fun to be Rob on All Stars.
I don't think so.
That would be a fun experience because you're going to get the whole kit and caboodle of emotions of a Survivor season. And I bet you Rob to this day doesn't regret a thing he did.
No, for sure. I mean, he's made quite a career out of it. He's fine. All right. This is our Patreon preview. Our Patreon episodes are more like 20 to 30 minutes. They're not an hour. We don't have video. It's only audio. This we just knew would go longer because we were doing a ranking and Blake just had to go off and say some weird things there. You know, there he is. But that's it. That's what we got. If you want to,
we don't want to sell that every, cause we do what 8 episodes per season,
eight per season.
A week. which is a lot, but they're not hour-long episodes.
No,
which
they're like
probably a good thing. Yeah, we usually do like 20 to 25 minutes. You know, depending on the topic, some can be quicker, some can be longer. This one happened to be a long one, so
yeah. And we knew it was going to be. So if you want to become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist, consider it. I'm doing Australian Survivor coverage and we're doing casting perspective. There's some movie stuff on there. Survivor rock draws. We got Q&As. We got all that. So think about becoming a patron. Otherwise, thank you all so much for listening. Like this video, subscribe to the channel, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.